The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. 5 after 7, Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday. Michael Shaw is here. Hello, Michael. You wanted to have a reverse look at Southern Oregon economy. You're another thoughtful individual. Go ahead and crank it at us, okay?
You know, everybody talks about inflation taking a big chunk out of your, you know, weekly expenses and such.
Yeah.
But Southern Oregon has always had a problem by not having a widely diverse economic base in terms of the different types of industries that we have. We have, you know, medical, we have tourism, but we don't have a lot of variety and corporations around there to employ different people.
Agreed.
So when we as a state legalized marijuana for recreational purposes, there was a vast influx of cash into our economy from the weed industry coming in, not only buying land, but buying equipment and buying lumber and hiring people and such.
Oh, man, I got to tell you, when you looked at the stats back at that time, good times, right? Especially if you were in the supplier business in those days, right?
Well, but the fallout from that was a positive fallout because all those people that were spending money to buy all that equipment and such and hiring all those people, that money then flowed into the economy. People were buying cars, they were going to restaurants, hanging out at bars and whatever else. So with the crackdown in the weed industry, them taking out the big illegal grows, and the excessive amount of weed being grown, driving the price of it down and putting other growers out of business, we have now suffered through a very severe lack of cash into the economy that we were relying on for a number of years.
Well, you know, Michael, I'll agree and I'll disagree slightly, because even when we talk about the boom, the weed boom at that time, there was never a boom for legal weed. There never was. There was never because the vast majority, I even have a relative has ended up renting land that they have out in the Applegate for a hemp grower at that time. Lots of cash and money given and paid to do this at the time. Yep, we've got the permits and this and that and the other. It was another, and they're thinking after the fact that it was probably illegal. It was an illegal grow. All the big money coming in was not about getting legal grows. It was about fostering the illegal market that was supposedly not going to be happening with the legal marketing. Okay.
And I will not disagree with that at all.
Okay.
But I'm just saying the whole industry, legal versus illegal, but the cash flow that came into our economy from that whole overall industry, legal, illegal, doesn't matter, was huge, which fostered money spent at Home Depot and Lowe's, money spent at bars and restaurants.
Oh, yeah. And I agree with you, though.
It was a huge influx of cash.
But nothing has come to replace it except, I guess, the next business model will be, hey, you open up a nonprofit group that is going to service the homeless and survive on state grants.
Right. And that's what I'm saying, is that the economy has suffered greatly by that lack of cash flow over the last year or two.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing has replaced it. So we don't have a diverse economy. We have a very slim economic model, really.
Yeah. And the other aspect, you think about how the greens end up deindustrializing Southwest Oregon and the forest, in which the forests are an expense rather than a bounty, you know, for us. And it really has been a poverty-inducing role. And yet, the Greens, I think, ultimately want Southwest Oregon to be their playground. And it's fine if everybody else is poor because, you know, we'll be real estate refugees from the San Francisco Bay Area or whatever it is. And then I'll have lots of people who I can hire to do my gardening and you know, clean our homes, things like that.
Yeah.
I'm being a little sarcastic,
you know,
you see where I'm getting at. You know?
Oh, absolutely. You get into the lumber industry, and then we get into the conversation from the other day about barred owls.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. We're going to shoot thousands of barred owls to take care of what was supposedly there to kill the timber industry. But, yeah, you're right. The diversity of the economy is not what it should be. And let's be honest here, Michael. Sustainable tourism, which has been the whole thing from the chamber, in which we're going to get taxpayers to build tourist attractions, and so people will come to see them. That's not big money. It's not huge money. I mean, it's money for certain industries, but I don't think it's money for the overall general economy. Okay?
No, you're not going to make hundreds of millions or billions of dollars off of a freaking pool in the north end of town.
But we'll continue to sell ourselves the illusion, okay? Hey, got a roll. Thanks for the call. Boy, we're getting good ones this morning. Good, meaty conversation. Hi, KMED, KCMD. Who's this? Go ahead. Hello?
Hi, this is Debbie calling.
Hi, Betty. Go ahead. What's on your mind?
No, this is Deb calling, Bill.
Oh, Deb. Okay, go ahead, Deb.
Yeah. Hi there. Hey, first of all, shout out to Gary Bray and Save Oregon Group up north, who did a lot to try to prevent the shutdown of our forest. Mm-hmm. But that's not what I'm calling about today. I'm calling about this whole thing with Kotech and how they're talking about they're going to put in more treatment facilities, mm-hmm. and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Well, you know, the Courier ran an article on Kotech's partner suffering from alcoholism, and, you know, bless their heart. And, you know, I support anybody that is, you know, seeks recovery. But they're doing nothing to create recovery centers in this state. I have someone that I know who works, you know, in, you know, Douglas County, and they have them in Josephine and Jackson County as well. And their recovery centers or whatever, they are taking people that have gone on a mental hold. They go there before they're released back out onto the street. It's all about pumping meds. Nobody is loading these people up in a van, taking them to an NA meeting or a Narcotics Anonymous meeting. There's none of that that anybody is helping these people do.
Well, you said something that was quite interesting, Deb. You said that the recovery industry is about pumping you full of meds. Did I hear that right?
Well, these places are doing that. I mean, they aren't taking just people that want help from alcoholism or from drug addiction. You have to have had a mental crisis, gone to 2 North on a mental hold, and then it's an interim place to go, basically. And
well, you understand why they're not doing much of that. It's expensive, isn't it?
It is. And you know what? These facilities, Bill, they can house, a lot of them are up to 15 beds. And I know personally, and I can't, you know, give any more information, but I know somebody that works in one of them. And she is beyond frustrated. They've never had more than 5 patients there. They are on, you know, mental drugs and everything. Nobody loads them up in anything, takes them to a meeting or anything. And these places are not full. Why are they not full if they're bragging that they're pushing recovery in this state? It's not happening. I don't trust Kotech or her partner or anybody else to do anything for the state, and definitely not to be a czar about family values.
Well, remember, that was an April Fool's news release, okay?
Gotcha.
Okay. I just want to make sure, you know, that's why I didn't say it yesterday. Well, maybe I should have read it yesterday, but I made it clear but I said it was written so well that it could have been true. Okay. But
yeah, I missed that part.
Okay. All right. But thank you.
Frustrating.
But I do agree with your overall evaluation. The tender mercies of the state are not very good at dealing with the poverty of the spirit, because there's not much spirit in the state government to be able to help people deal with the poverty of the spirit. Of course, they don't want to think about it being really a poverty of the spirit. We're just little meat sacks. All we have to do is be programmed with the right drugs and we'll be fine, I guess. I hope that's...
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. All right. Appreciate the call, Deb. Let me grab another one. Hi, KMED, KCMD. Good morning. Who's this?
Good morning. This is Lauren, not Eagle Point.
Lauren, take it away.
I was on my walk when you gave your Kotech thing. I almost vomited on the sidewalk.
Yeah, remember, it was parody, okay?
I know. Okay. I know. But here's what I wanted to mention was, you did hear that the president declared National Atheist Day, didn't you?
No, I didn't hear Atheist Day. I knew about Transgender Awareness Day. I knew about that.
Well, Atheist Day, the first of April.
Oh, okay. Atheist Day. April Fool's, right?
Oh, Fool's Day.
All right.
Day.
I love it. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you. Have a great day. Bye.
Okay. 7:15. I'm a little bit behind here. I'm going to talk with Nick Smith a little bit about a Supreme Court case which did not get heard. Actually, pretty important here for Southwest Oregon about the ONC lands and what happened with Obama expanding the monument. Really weird. We'll talk about that coming up in just a couple.
A message from Stephen Westfall Roofing, Inc. Thank you so much for your continued support over the years. We are very grateful. With your loyal support, we have been able to give back to our community in 2023, providing new roofing shelter to very deserving individuals. In 2024, we have been blessed with giving back to the beloved Cats organization on Ross Lane here in Medford. Stop by, adopt, or donate anytime. Stay tuned to hear how you can enter to win our next roof giveaway throughout the year.
When the wind blows and storms roll through, do you get worried? Hi, this is Jeff with Quality Tree Service. If you answered yes, you may have a dangerous tree that could come down and cause property damage or worse. Call us and we'll inspect your trees and provide a no-obligation quote. If removal is necessary, we specialize in low impact. At Quality Tree Service, we love trees, but they shouldn't be keeping you up at night. We also offer senior and military discounts. Visit us at QualityTreeServiceMedford.com.
Purchase a new Wayne Dalton garage door and genie opener and get $150 cash back at American Industrial Door. Now through April, choose a Wayne Dalton steel door, including modern, traditional, and carriage house styles, and get $100 cash back, then pair with a genie opener for another $50 cash back. American Industrial Door will help you find the perfect mix of style and functionality to replace your old door. See the possibilities at America Industrial Door showrooms on Crater Lake Avenue in Central Point and in Grants Pass on Union Avenue.
KCMD and KMED Weather, sponsored by Advanced Air and Bryant. Doing whatever it takes to deliver intelligent heating and cooling solutions and award-winning service. Visit myadvancedair.com.
I'm meteorologist Bobby J for NBC5. Already a warmer start this morning. High today of 80 with lots of sunshine. We'll drop to 45 tonight. 52 the high Wednesday, 49 on Thursday. Showers likely into Wednesday, then a chance of snow early Thursday.
This hour of the Bill Meyer Show is proudly sponsored by Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros and Full Service Auto Repair.
With so many working and doing business from home, it's good to know there's a community business center to help. A Street Print and Parcel is a one-stop shop for everything from large format printing and scanning to blueprints, architectural plans, and shipping. Their Studio 10 expansion offers passport photos, photo mounting, fine art scanning, art reproductions, signs and banners, negative and slide scanning, canvas prints, and so much more. Located in Ashland on A Street across from Ashland Hardware. Their motto, we create it, print it, pack it, and ship it. A Street Print and Parcel and Studio 10.
Imagine your team always looking and feeling their best in high-performance technical workwear. Cintas can make it happen. They have garments for almost every job imaginable. And with the Cintas Workwear program, you get freshly laundered garments delivered every week for everyone on your team. Great garments without the bother of laundry. That's a real perk for employees. Find out how Cintas can boost team image and morale. Visit Cintas.com.
Oh, I'm ready!
And get ready for the workday.
The Bill Meyer Show is on 106.3 KMED and 99.3 KCMD.
Nick Smith. It's with the American Forest Resource Council, regional trade or association representing over 50 forest product businesses and forest landowners here. Purpose is to advocate for sustained yield timber harvest on public timberlands throughout the West. What a concept. And Supreme Court ended up not getting involved in a case the other week, at least declined to go into it. And I wanted to talk with Nick about this. Nick, welcome to the show. Great to have you back. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Bill. Thanks for having me on the program.
Yeah, I'm glad that, the AFRC deal is talking about sustained timber. And this all, of course, because I know that sustained yield is something which is brought up quite frequently in the ONC Act that Congress passed many, many years ago, which has never been repealed, and the Oregon and California Railroad lands, which essentially were deeded to the counties, and that you could harvest. They were required to maintain these lands to help pay for county services. Isn't that essentially the effect of the ONC Act, right? Is that what that was all about?
That's correct. I mean, we continue to believe that the law is pretty clear. And in fact, if you read the ONC Act of 1937, it uses the word shall, that the government shall harvest timber under the principles of sustained yield for the benefit of our counties, including Jackson and others throughout Western Oregon.
Yeah, it is shall, not may, or, if they want to, or think about it, that kind of thing. And then we had the situation a number of years ago when Barack Obama ended up expanding the Cascade-Siskiyou National Monument and took a bunch of these ONC lands that were supposed to be managed for sustained yield and just lock them up, right?
Well, that's correct. In fact, Obama did two things. First, he imposed new resource management plans through the Bureau of Land Management that effectively set aside three quarters of the ONC land base from active forest management. So, obviously it's harvesting timber, but when you're not, managing lands, you're not doing the thinning, you're not doing the other work required to reduce wildfire risk. So he did that. And then in the final hours of his presidency, as Trump was literally preparing to take the oath of office with very little public notice, public participation, he signed a proclamation setting aside 40,000 acres of these ONC lands as an expansion of the Cascade-Siskiyou National Monument that straddles the Oregon-California border.
Does that mean then that nobody touches this, period, or is anything allowed to be done with something like this? Because this sounds like it goes completely against the 1937 ONC Act. And it was about helping these southern Oregon counties, do okay because you'd do sustainable yield timber harvesting on these lands, and then you get a cut of it. And then, that's all gone. And why is it that, what was it, the Antiquities Act, I guess, trumps the other act of a Congress? I mean, what's the thought process going on here? Because the SCOTUS, the Supreme Court, wouldn't look at this. They declined to review this case, which just amazed me, really.
Well, that is correct about the use, or I would say the misuse of the Antiquities Act, where a president, in this case Barack Obama, can use this law to set aside just about anything, whether it's large swaths of land. He's also set aside swaths of ocean, which has shut down fishermen. And, we believe that, oh, in this case, Obama's misuse of the Antiquities Act effectively violated the law, since Congress had expressly identified these lands for a specific purpose, and that was sustained yield timber harvest.
Yeah. Does this mean that it's over now? That any thought of actually any kind of use of these public lands, that all the public lands are just going to be a burden on us rather than a bounty for the people?
Well, I think that's the question that everybody should be asking. That's a question that voters should be asking candidates this year in an election year. The ONC lands has been the subject of litigation literally for decades. We were literally at the final endpoint where, we were asking the Supreme Court justices to really take a look at this law. A couple of justices on the court did side with us. They did want to take this case, but
which justices wanted to take it? Do you recall?
It was Gorsuch mm-hmm. and Kavanaugh.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh. I'm surprised that Clarence Thomas wouldn't have wanted to look at this, because it seemed to me that there was certainly a constitutional question, involved here. What holds sway? The promises made to the county in 1937, or what a revolutionary president wants to do in 2017. Kind of weird.
Yeah, I would think so. But to answer your previous question, I think there's going to continue to be a lot of uncertainty over the management of these federal lands, Americans still expect public lands to be managed. They expect them to be healthy and accessible. And they expect public lands to be a benefit to, local communities. And so, those issues won't go away. But, we're going to continue to be fighting for that good, responsible management of these lands.
Nick Smith is with the American Forest Resource Council, AFRC. I noticed that, we're now at the point where even if you're trying to thin out some forests around here, in fact, I was looking at your press release. And by the way, this was a press release on April Fool's Day. It was a legitimate press release, or was it an April Fool's press release?
It was a legitimate press release.
Okay, all right. Unfortunate. You might have released it today, all right, just to be clear here. But the headline here is anti-forestry groups protesting efforts to thin fire-prone forest in southwest Oregon. Now, we got a bunch of dead trees, right? We got a bunch of dead Douglas firs in some of these areas around here. And even still, the protests are coming in? Don't take them down? Or is it something else going on?
Well, I think you just described it. Southwest Oregon, all of the federal lands surrounding the Rogue Valley, the forests are overstocked. They're unhealthy. And a lot of dead trees out there. At the very least, we need to be clearing out those dead trees so that they're not fire hazards and they're not pouring smoke into the valley during the summers. But, this just goes to show what we're up against in terms of the responsible management of these federal lands. We have a past presidential administration who just figured it would just rewrite the laws relating to lands in southwest Oregon. And we have the local Bureau of Land Management in Medford who really wants to do some management. They're out in the woods every day. They see the conditions.
So BLM's trying to do, I just want to be clear here, Nick, BLM's trying to do the right thing, but the greenies can't even let them take down dead trees to manage a forest to help it from not burning, right?
That is correct. In fact, I think I just read this morning about a tree sit somewhere out there where they don't want a single tree cut, dead or alive, for any reason at any time. There you have it. And if you want to know why we have so many large wildfires while we're choking on smoke every summer, it's because our system of federal land management is completely broken. And our agencies, even when they want to do the right thing, can take years of bureaucracy, paperwork, and litigation before they could cut a single stick.
Yeah. Now, what role has Jackson County's ordinance in which it is coordinated with the federal, like a U.S. Forest Service, as an example, to in fire season put the fires out? That's been helpful, though, at keeping the smoke down, has it not?
Absolutely. Jackson County has been a leader in this issue. Others around the Rogue Valley have been insistent that when we have a wildfire, the Forest Service or public agency not sit on it.
If you let the federal land managers do what they want to do, it'll be let it burn, right? The let it burn policy, right?
That's correct. Unfortunately, we have really good leadership on the Rogue River Siskiyou National Forest who believe in good firefighting and wildfire suppression. And so, thanks to the leadership of Jackson County and others, we do have a good system of firefighting. The question is can we thin some overstocked forests so that, we keep the intensity down on these fires so that they're safe to suppress and not monsters that we're now seeing?
Nick Smith with me once again. Nick, is there a possibility that the greens, the anti-forest greens, the anti-industrialized people that are out there, is there a possibility that they're feeling their oats right now? Because, essentially the Klamath Dam removal was a huge win, and they're thinking like there's nothing that they can't do or accomplish right now. I'm wondering if that might be what's going on here, in which you have greens sitting in forests to try to keep dead trees from being harvested, keep them from being harvested so that they can just explode in the next lightning strike. It astounds me. What's going on?
No question about it, Bill. They're litigating just about everything. They're taking these agencies to court, turning them into basically no management agencies. You mentioned the dams, that issue. I think it just comes down to elections matter. And the elections coming up in November are going to be very important.
I was told that as long as you have West Coast forestry, the West Coast states rather controlled by Democrats in the Senate, that there's really no appetite for being in the forest. Is that a fair assessment in your view?
Well, that's an interesting point.
And the way it was referred to me is that as long as there are Democrats in your Senate all on the West Coast, which is the way it is right now, that there is absolutely no support for getting anything done on public lands that might actually help forests.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. I think what that point is making is that, you need 60 votes in the Senate really to pass anything. you know, members of Congress on both sides of the aisle have proposed very strong pieces of legislation that would get us back out in the woods, you know, to do the work that needs to be done. But, you know, there are some senators who just will not defy the anti-forestry, anti-people lobby in order to make these changes to our broken system. And that's why we seem to be going through this year after year.
You know, Nick, maybe what happens, and I'm not saying I would want this to happen, but maybe it's going to take the Cascade-Siskiyou Monument expansion of Obama to burn to a crisp when there's no firefighting water because there's no longer an Iron Gate lake to dip from. And it ends up burning down parts of the city of Ashland. Maybe then they'll see it differently. Maybe it's only going to take tragedy. I don't know. Is it going to take that to actually shake some sense into people?
Well, the interesting thing is that the National Monument, you know, has been sold to the public as, you know, this pristine piece of land. And, you know, we did have a pretty major fire just a few years ago, the Klamathon fire.
Mm-hmm.
Which really was going to burn through the monument, but as we talked about earlier, the National Forest, which is this particular National Forest, which is geared towards really aggressive attack, they threw everything at it,
including water from the Iron Gate Lake. They were dipping hundreds of times. It went there and dipped the water and put the fire out.
That is correct. They knocked down the fire and kept it from, you know, tearing through the monument and into Ashland. I mean, certainly I don't want to see Ashland burn to the ground, but, you know, we need action at some point. And, you know, just spending our time in court, having judges determine what can and can't be done is just not a great way to go.
Amforest.org, you can find out more about Nick's organization. Nick, I appreciate your take. Is there any bright spot out there that you might bring up, too, when it comes to forestry management, anything that you're actually liking, that you see what's going on?
Well, you know, as I said, the BLM in Medford, you know, really wants to do that management. They
Good.
Really want to take out these dead trees. They're in court today. The anti-forestry groups are going to be there rallying downtown Medford. And, you know, so, you know, I think we need to recognize when public land managers want to do the right thing.
Okay. Good job. Nick, I appreciate the talk, and we'll have you back. And thank you for taking a few minutes with us this morning, okay? Be well.
Thank you, Bill.
Nick Smith, American Forest Resource Council, amforest.org, 732.
The promise I made to my grandmother 20 years ago, to create a place that feels like home, with great food and caring people, and a really nice yard, continues today in Medford. The Springs Living was a dream that was created for my family. And we're still here today to make life just a little bit easier for yours.
The Springs at Anna Maria in Medford. Call 541-774-1822.
American Wrencher Garage is your premier auto care provider, serving Medford, Central Point, and the Rogue Valley, providing nothing less than the highest quality standard of professionalism on every single service and repair. Call today. Appointments are available for oil change to engine change. Get the peace of mind you deserve at American Wrencher Garage on Biddle, across from Elmer's, 499-6673, 499-6673. American Wrencher Garage. We stand behind every job we do, with service you can trust.
One of our clients told me that her 9-year-old took a new interest in cooking and helping in the kitchen while mom was on the Plan Z diet. This same girl also told her mom she was a better mom as a result of doing Plan Z, because her mom now wanted to play outside and run around with her daughter. Losing the weight gave her new energy. Hi, this is Zola from PlanZDiet.com. A Kentucky dieter told me that the ZR50 Crave Control Spray worked so well she never even thought about her favorites, Mountain Dew and chocolate cake. This diet has so many benefits. I invite you to visit PlanZDiet.com and read the success stories. Our dieters are people just like you. Most of them aren't trying to get back to bikini thin or their high school football weight. They just want to be healthier and happier. The average Plan Z dieter loses 31 pounds in just 50 days. That's fast enough to stay motivated, and it's a big enough loss in the end to make dramatic improvements in how you look and feel. If you ever worry about the impact being overweight is having on your health and happiness, you owe it to yourself to seriously check out PlanZDiet.com.
Oregon E-Deals has saved the Rogue Valley boatloads of cash over the years on things you buy and use daily. Get a $100 Cartwright's Market gift card for only $85. Artisan Bakery certificates, normally $25, only $15. American Renter Garage, $75 certificates, good for any service, only $30. Wayback Burgers, $25 certificate, only $14. This and much more available exclusively at OregonEDeals.com.
This is the Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMED and 99.3 KCMD.
We'll catch up with the rest of what's going on here in just a minute with our NBC5 news partner, and then Josephine County Commissioner Berchiger, former state senator. And he's an interesting take, though, on the ONC Act, what I was talking about with Nick Smith and a few other things of political import all coming up. You hang on for it. Always a good conversation. KMED, KCMD News, sponsored by Millett Construction, specializing in foundation repair and replacement. Get on solid ground by visiting MillettConstruction.com.
Good morning. I'm Marcus Villa with your NBC5 Morning News Update. The lawsuit accusing Canyonville Representative Christine Goodwin of not living in her district has been temporarily dropped. Josephine County Commissioner John West says a judge was not able to hear their case within the 61-day statute. Goodwin is currently the representative for District 4 and is running for state senate in District 2. Both partly represent Jackson and Josephine County. The lawsuit claims Goodwin lives in Myrtle Creek, which is not in either county. A reminder for parents in the Medford area, if your kiddo will be 5 by September 1st, it's time to get them signed up for kindergarten. The Medford School District will be holding its annual kindergarten launch next Wednesday, April 10th, from 4 to 6 p.m. at a school near you. If attending, bring your child's immunization records, birth certificate, and proof of address. Route changes for the Rogue Valley Transportation District are now in effect. Route 61, which serves the Table Rock campus of Rogue Community College, will now have new stops, including Amy's Kitchen in White City. Route 21, which serves North Medford, will have buses leaving every 20 minutes. And Route 27 from West to East Medford will have buses leaving every 30 minutes during the day. For local news anytime, you can head to our website, KOBI5.com, or to our Facebook page, that's KOBI-TV, NBC5. And that's your look at your morning headlines. From C5 News, I'm Marcus Veal. Happy Tuesday.
This hour of the Bill Myers Show is proudly sponsored by Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros on Main Street in Phoenix.
Hi, it's Jason at Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros. Through April, purchase a set of 4 Cooper tires for practically whatever you drive, and you'll get a Visa reward card in the mail. Get $100 on top of the line Cooper Discover STT Pro Mud Terrains or Cobra Instincts for your sports car. Get $75 on 5 styles of all-terrain truck tires, including the popular AT3 XLT, and get $50 on 3 styles of all-season passenger tires, including Endeavor. Save on Cooper tires at Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros.
Hi, it's John at Welburn's Weapons. The only thing better than shooting is shooting with a suppressor. Welburn's is Southern Oregon's suppressor headquarters, stocking models from Silencer Code, Dead Air, Griffin Armament, Rugged, Q, Thunderbeast, and many more. And we can order practically any suppressor on the market. Check in with us for monthly incentives to save on suppressors, too. Come see the suppressor experts. Welburn's Weapons on Crater Lake Highway, just south of White City.
Is switching your wireless service to Total by Verizon easy?
Totalmente.
And you get unlimited 5G data? $25 a line for 4 lines on the unlimited plan? At an amazing price? With no contracts. Should you switch to Total by Verizon? Definitely.
Totalmente.
Find a store or switch suavemente at totalbyverizon.com. Monthly rate when you activate without a pay, plus taxes and fees. Discount begins the month after you enroll. Additional terms apply. See website for data management practices.
Hi, I'm Dwayne Barkley with American Rancher Garage, and I'm on KMED and KCMD.
7:39. Always looking forward to the talk with Josephine County Commissioner, former State Senator Herman Berchiger. Herman, welcome back. I was talking with Nick Smith, Herman, about the Supreme Court not choosing to review the Obama expansion of the Cascade-Siskiyou National Monument, which appeared to go directly against the 1937 Act of Congress, ONC Act, that required those lands be managed for sustained yield timber harvest. And it shall be, not might be, not be if the federal government wants it, but they're supposed to do that. I guess you're not surprised about this, huh?
No, you know, and I know Nick Smith really well, worked with him on this issue quite a bit. I've been working on it for 30 years, but, you know, it's almost a decade ago I gave a speech at the ONC counties. It was not well received, but I just told them that the ONC issue is dead. And I told them, because you have nobody in the legislature, you have nobody in the Senate, zero. Both your senators are working against you. And you may, at that time, they had one person in the House, so one out of 435. And I said, politics is a numbers game, and guess what? You've lost. Well, it was not very, very well received by a lot of people, but it's the truth, Bill. So you can, sure, the 1937 ONC Act was done by Congress, but you have to have a Congress that wants to enforce it, and you don't have that. You just, and
so it's happy to enforce the Antiquities Act because it expands, you know, locked up forests, right? They like that part about it. So no one's going, it's kind of like a lay down. It's almost deciding on what Congress will lay down about, right? Is that kind of what I'm hearing? Yeah.
Listen, it's just a mathematical equation, and you don't have, the cards aren't in your favor. And that's been my business my whole life. It's treated me very well, but it's over. It's just, you know, it's over. And I people get mad at me for saying that. Well, it's the ONC Act. Okay. Well, you keep losing in court, you lose in Congress, and you lose in the Senate. So you can stand up on your tree stump all you want and say it's an act, but if nobody's going to enforce it, and your own senators, you don't have one senator in the United States that will come out and speak for the ONC Act.
So apparently, only laws that sitting legislators like get enforced in today's America, which doesn't really say much about rule of law, does it?
No, it's pretty. It's I think it's irresponsible of Congress if they don't want to abide by the 1937 ONC Act, then they ought to repeal it. You know, but they don't. You know, it just sits there. And Wyden and Merkley, especially Senator Wyden, he's been working against us since he was ever elected. And if Oregonians are going to keep electing these people, these are the results that you're going to get.
My concern here, Commissioner Bertschinger, former state senator too, is that all of our public lands have been turned into burdens for our communities rather than any benefit. Am I wrong about that? Am I going too far by describing it that way? That everything about this is... you know, how much grant stream funding can we get so we can funnel into gangrene collaborative agencies, you know, to go out there and do what timber industry used to do for a profit that also paid the local communities, you know, a certain percentage of it?
It's all politics, you know, and it's this feel good, and it's a result of a very wealthy nation, is what it is, Bill. It's a result of a very wealthy nation. As my grandfather used to always say, you want your cake and eat it too. And that's kind of what it is. And I don't, until the political environment changes, this is where we're at. It's a reality. I'm 64 years old, and I can probably honestly say it's not going to come around in my lifetime.
What happens then when the grant stream funding no longer comes? Because we're definitely looking at a debt crisis in the United States government. There's no doubt about that. You cannot look at, almost close to $40 trillion of national debt and just creating more currency, you know, to sit there and just plug into it. That's not going to be a long-term solution. Every fiat currency ends up destroying itself. And that's what's funding this largesse right now, or this idea that, well, we don't have to actually have productive forests. We'll just have collaboratives with their drip torches going out there and burning the forests intentionally.
Bill, those are big, huge concerns I have. It's not just the national debt. It's all the other obligations with Social Security, Medicare, And all, you know, then you look at the personal side. We got the highest credit card debt per capita than we've ever had. Mortgages are, you're starting to see the foreclosure moving a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think everybody gets tapped out. But you look, you know, I'm just amazed how people just keep spending and spending. And this inflation, the reason the credit card debt is going nuts right now is the inflation is catching up with everybody, and so they don't have enough money, so they're supplementing.
But you're trying to keep your existing standard of living going.
Exactly.
Via credit card.
Exactly. And I look at it, and at the county, you know, at Josephine County, we're kind of like the canary in a coal mine. The money is it's gone out, and department heads are so frustrated and angry and mad. And I said, don't get mad at me. It's not like I put a match to the money. It's just simply not here.
Mm.
I said, you know.
Speaking of which, all right, you know, the money's not there. Have people figured this out about 17-116, which is the charter repeal and replace there? You know, that scheme? Have they figured this out that putting an administrator going to five county commissioners and, you know, trying to cut their pay, which they really can't do legally from what I understand, you know, given the court decisions that have happened. I mean, all this kind of stuff. And yet what I'm looking from Democrats is that they want to seem to burn up even more money in Joe County.
Oh, and you know, nobody's looking at the fact that if you can go to the census, the average income in Josephine County is just a little under $30,000. You know, that's the average per capita, not household.
Uh-huh.
Don't look at household income. That is not a good number to look at. You need to look at per capita. So, I mean, the government came up with that per household number a long time ago because it doesn't look near as bad. But you need to go look at per capita. And so I have department heads, that want to say, oh, well, we just need to raise taxes. I said, yeah, you make $150,000 a year. How about the average household at $30,000 a year? I says, you can't even relate. And they look at me, and they're just kind of like,
the people in government employ get really, and you are one of them right now for a few more months, and then you're going to be, you haven't run for re-election, so you're going to be leaving office. But the point being, though, is that they're thinking that, okay, well, just raise taxes. We need more money here. But they don't get the fact that most of your residents there are not really able to afford that. You just can't do it. Doesn't matter how.
Right.
Doesn't matter how much. Doesn't matter how much the sheriff's department needs. Doesn't matter how much the county needs. Right? Doesn't matter. Right?
Yeah, it's amazing that people do that. You know, you got to look at these numbers, and yes, federal government employees are the best paid employees in the United States, and the state employees and municipality employees come after that, but they're still, they're pretty well paid. They do a good job and everything, but at the end of the day, there's only so many dollars in the bucket. And when the bucket's empty, the bucket's empty. You can shake it and turn it upside down and throw it against the wall, and ain't no more dollars going to come out of it.
All right. Josephine County Commissioner Bearsugar with me this morning. Hey, Commissioner, I can't help but chuckle a little bit. You know, I was reading that April Fool's press release from the Parents' Rights in Education or Parents' Rights Organization.
Yeah, I forget. I don't appreciate that kind of stuff because it's too easy to get mixed up.
Yeah, well, it was a fake release about Governor Kotek's wife being then appointed as the faith and free, you know, what the faith and family values are, right? And yet the thing is, the reason why that fake press release was so effective is that it sounded like something that they do, doesn't it? Doesn't it sound like?
Well, she is trying, you know, for whatever reason, which is a mystery. The top end of her staff are gone. I don't know if they quit. They got fired.
Three or four people just left.
And then she seems to want to appoint her wife, Amy. So it's Amy Kotek Wilson, I think,
yes,
is what her real name is.
Yes.
I thought it was something to do with housing or something like that. And you know,
Well, what I'm seeing here, Herman, is that the last one was that they wanted to create a new office of the first spouse, is what it would be.
And you know, that's what got Kitzhoffer in trouble. And in fact, I posted the video of Peter Courtney talking about, talking to Kitzhoffer about resigning. I remember all that. Mm-hmm. Courtney came to our caucus. He tried to suck us in on it. We just told him it was your family food fight. Leave us out of it. Here's what is interesting. Do you remember here this last year when we hired our IT person who used to work for me in the Senate, and Stoddard went after me? Oh, cronyism. He forgot to put in there the guy had all the credentials and the education and master's degree and everything.
Yeah, Michael Sellers. Okay.
Right.
Well, I guess we should then be looking forward to Scott Stoddard's editorial criticizing the push to create the office of the first spouse in the state government, huh?
Yeah, and put her on the payroll. And what is that payroll? So the governor makes just under $100,000 a year. So what's the first spouse office going to make?
Probably 100.5, I'll estimate, right? That seems to be what happens.
Yeah.
Hey, by the way, why is it that so many people want to be governor if it pays so little? I mean, it's pretty much crap pay compared to a lot of other things you can do in state government.
So it's either a dying feeling to help your state, or it's a power grab. It's one of the two. So that's just... But back to the newspaper, Bill, just for a second.
Okay.
Listen, it's not just me. How many articles in the Grants Pass Courier have been about criticizing some of President Biden's blunders? None. How many articles in the Grants Pass Courier criticize Democrat politicians? None. And there won't be. And, you know, it's not a fair and balanced newspaper. It's not. It's just not. I'm sorry. They're right in with a lot of the others across this country.
Well, given that you've brought up the Courier, okay, I have to ask you then. They came after you because of the Library Association thing. How do you feel about that, given the fact that, I mean, I know you were looking at one law that seemed to say that Mike Pelfrey could escape the bloodthirsty, rapacious library district wanting, you know, they don't want anybody escaping having to pay the money to the library district, I guess. You know, that's the way it is. But what is your overall take on that, you know, now that it's kind of going back to the status quo?
Well, you know, we were under the impression, and then when you look at the statute, for withdrawing, it sounds simplistic, but there was a little caveat there. Let's call it a footnote. There's a daisy chain of other statutes that there's lots of rabbit holes. It's one of the most complicated, mixed up. It's just been cobbled together over the last 70 years, okay? So when you go down all those rabbit trails, there's a little more, like Paul Harvey used to say, the rest of the story. But given that, when it was brought up to us in a meeting and somebody mentioned another statute that I did not ever hear about, because we get a briefing from our attorneys. And you know, I was in the Senate, so I understand how to read statutes and look at that. I went, stop. So I went and talked during a meeting. I recessed the meeting. I got up. I went over to our legal counsel. I said, what's going on here? They go, wow, we don't know. I said, thank you. I came back to the dais, and I said, I'll entertain a motion that we suspend all withdrawals and all annexes to the library district until we can get to the bottom of this.
Okay.
It was unanimous, so we suspended everything. So then the library, they go, oh, we're going to file a lawsuit. There was no reason that the library needed to spend one red cent on a lawsuit because we already suspended everything, and we have gotten to the bottom of it. It is a corny, complicated process. Even the library, the attorneys from the library even said, this is a horrible, confusing process. We think we've gotten to the bottom of it. So Scott Stoddard never puts that in. He never talks about us suspending the process immediately. and it was unanimous vote. He doesn't talk about any of that. He just says, oh, Bertrager and West need to pay the library district. Hey, that was their choice. They didn't need to do it.
All right.
Okay,
so I'll give you a chance to respond to Stoddard's thing. That's fine. Okay.
Great.
Before we take off, though, what about voter ID? You had something, a thought you wanted to proffer on that. Go ahead.
So I asked people listening, I'm sure most everybody has access to a computer. If you get on your computer and you look at the voter registration form, it'll say, it'll have two questions there. Are you a citizen and are you over the age of 16? The reason they're over the age of 16 is they want to track you, and because when you're 18, you get to vote.
Right.
But
that's why they're registering you at 16. Yeah.
Exactly. But you don't get to vote till you're 18. But so what's more important, though, is there's a question under perjury and a felony. If you're not a U.S. citizen, you have to check the box. Yes, I'm a U.S. citizen. Nobody verifies it. Nobody. And I can't find, and maybe it's out there, but so far I haven't been able to find anybody convicted in the state of Oregon for saying they were a citizen and they weren't. Maybe it's out there, but I can't find it.
Well, that is one of the reasons, another reason, I think that's about reason 500 why I think our vote-by-mail system is sort of faith-based. We take it under good faith that you're telling the truth when you sign that. We don't really check it out. It's not all that different. It kind of brings up that situation with Christine Goodwin, the controversy about Christine Goodwin, that, of where she actually lives, that kind of thing. And
because I say it is, it must be true.
Yeah. Because I say I live at the winery or on the property, it must be true because I swore to it. Right.
I don't know why she hasn't put this to bed and just said, hey, newspaper, any news. I don't care who it is.
Well, hey, listen, Herman, the one thing I think we can agree on here. I know you have no love for the Daily Courier. OK, I get it. I understand.
Right.
It's a combative relationship. But Christine Goodwin could have put this all to bed. The Daily Courier wanted to send a reporter and a photographer over there. And she says, well, we don't want to get the ranch involved in this. It has nothing to do with the ranch. It has to do with whether she lives there. And it could have been all over, right?
Well, when you're renting something, when you're renting a piece of property, you have quiet enjoyment of that property. You can have anybody over you want.
Uh-huh.
it doesn't make any sense. When I talked to her back in August, because I've run enough campaigns to know that these are the things you want to nip in the bud early on so they don't manifest. And I said, hey, just produce all the information and be done with it. Get this. You don't want to go into campaign season like this. And she just kind of blew me off. She says, Secretary of State says, this is where I live. And I just went, wow.
Hmm.
Redact your taxes, just redact them so it shows the mailing address and give it to the newspaper. Have them come out to the winery, have a glass of wine.
Yeah, show them off there. Get a cup of coffee. Here we go. And then, that's what it just strikes me as. I don't know what the truth is about this. I know that the information that was brought forth, the evidence of the lawsuit, which has been dropped, I guess, or put on hold, depending on what happens in the primary election. It is. What normally happens here. You know what it's like. What the attorneys will always tell you, Herman. I'm sure you'd agree with this. That if your evidence supports your case, you put the evidence out there. And if the evidence doesn't support your case, then you attack the attackers. Essentially, you battle them. You attack them instead.
Well, yeah. She always switches gears. She never talks about producing the evidence. She just goes to, this is all Noah Robinson. I don't think that's true. So if I was Robinson and I was running against her, I'd make hay with it.
By the way, I think Noah Robinson needs to come out and say something about this, because she's using his name in vain every time that they talk about it. Some media outlet talks with her about it.
Right. Well, I definitely make it a campaign issue.
Yeah.
There's no, that's just how that world works.
Oh. All right. Well, Herman, I always appreciate the talk. I know we noodled around a whole bunch of stuff this morning, but it's always an interesting little political experiment every week. Okay? You be well.
Well, you know, the people I talk to that listen like us noodling around, they find that very informative, Bill.
That's just it. Hey, thanks so much, Herman. We'll catch you again, okay?
See you later.
Be well.